The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange generates high-quality leads at scale, helping you find your next ideal customer. Episode 3, recorded live at Advertising Week New York, features the digital prophet, David Shing, in conversation with Justin Cook, chairman of Demand Exchange.
Good afternoon. I'm delighted to be joined by the digital prophet himself, Mr. David Shing. Welcome to Advertising Week New York.
G'day, mate. Delighted might be a little bit of an extreme, but clearly you've been here all week and you're punch drunk.
I don't know about that. This is the highlight of my week, I think. So look, David, first of all, kind of what brings you here?
Sir, I have done a variety of things, primarily speaking to Todd Kaplan, the CMO of Pepsi, always lovely, 125-year anniversary for that brand. Hate to stay iconic in a world that feels ironic sometimes, you know. And then I did a lovely fireside chat with a young man called Casper Lee, who's one of the original YouTube creators. Just to give you context, there were 16 creators on YouTube when he joined at 16, and bloody hell, could you imagine that world? And then I got to host a show for Advertising Week called The Freak Show, where I got to honestly grab a couple of people that I know and just said, hey, here, well, let's go through some content. You haven't seen this before, and you give me the reaction. Do you think this is yay or nay, freaky, whatever? And it's just a delight. I'm here for the laughs, to be honest. I'm really just, it's tough. It's a weird time. Everyone's fuzzy. Everyone's foggy. The India itself is in a weird kind of space, and the world itself is spinning in the opposite direction. I don't know what's going on, mate. So I'm here to catch up with beautiful humans like you and hopefully settle my anxiousness.
That's good. And how do we go about that? How do we go about trying to right the wrongs? How do we get to kind of a bit more of a sort of steady state? How do we get that focus?
Well, if I stay in the boundaries of an industry, this industry, we love, I mean, clearly I'm the buzzword king, so hello. But more importantly, you know, there are topics du jour that we like to anchor from. This time last year, if you and I had this conversation, you'd probably want to have it in the metaverse with me, which is fine. And then I'd walk away with an NFT version of it, which is also fine. God bless. And then we talk about how we're going to put that on the blockchain, and there we are. But the realities are, and this year it's all about AI probably, spending 10 minutes here so far, I get a sense that, you know, all of these things aren't new. Like blockchain has been around since 1991, artificial intelligence has been here forever. What we're seeing now is these, one, we get a graphical user interface, so an expression of consumer to embed with that. And we think it's the next thing. The truth is, there are still just three things that we need to worry about. And by the way, firstly, let's calm down. I mean, not everything has to be happy hands, but it does have to be based on three anchors that I don't think ever change. They evolve. And that's performance, great. I walk around here, Justin, and I see, you know, we have the best data on planet Earth, and we do this, and we do that, and whatever. And I'm like, great, that's a performance metric. But what's the story as to why I'd want to be with you or believe in you? And these are architects for great storytelling, which is this industry is. But the one I care about most, which is the thing that people don't focus on, and that's feel. What do I get when I feel a brand? And you know, here in the US there's 350 million people, globally there's 8 billion. We all have these different ways of thinking about how we're going to feel that brand in the context of the environment it's in. And there's more environments, brother. When you and I entered the industry, there was probably 5 or 6 environments we cared about. Now you got to worry about 50 of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe pick one to start off with and get it right, and then just amplify. That's what media does.
And who's doing it well? Who's giving you the feels?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of companies. You know, I spoke to Todd Kaplan at Pepsi. I do think he's done a remarkable job at a brand that probably is right for a reboot. But then you look at it and think, it's a dollar brand, dude. It's a can of soda. Mm-hmm. How do you create all this emotional content and why you're doing it, you know? And I think brands that are, so I'd say they're doing a great job. I would say brands that understand collab really well, and that's obviously, Nike does an incredible job of it, but so does Adidas, they're competitors. But they're things that work in understanding that creating collaboration, also in platforms that collaboration works. So if you've got two content creators together, it's better than one. So I feel very happy that this collaboration environment isn't not just one brand has to win. Multiple brands can come together and actually do it. I think those people who think that way will succeed. I also think the ambition of it is, can you treat your brand like a portfolio, do lots and lots and lots of littles, and if something becomes contagious, then put media behind it? Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to just one big idea that you suck the air out of in all these different channels and get flabbergasted when they don't perform. That to me is kind of how the approach just needs to maybe change slightly and evolve, and then ultimately you'll end up understanding that that's the feel of your brand, you know, that's where the best place you should be in. I don't know, it's a little bit too much of everything is everything, you know?
And what is it specifically that, you know, you're really impressed by folks like Pepsi and Adidas? What, give me some kind of real...
Yeah,
kind of
at the heart of it's design.
Right.
I'm a designer by trade, so I'm an aesthetic person, I hope. I look like a hot mess, but I'm an incredibly well-organized designer. And what I love about things is if they're well-designed, and do they lead design trends? Because the first entry to a brand is some element of design. Then comes the creativity, then comes the media that amplifies that, and that all comes down to context. Build good content, put it in smart places. Easy to say, incredibly hard to do. So if it's design-led, that's for me the first thing that I care about because it's going to attune. And then in addition to that is, does this product that is designed this way, does it reflect my own value and therefore I have an affinity to it? I think we're moving away from authority, by the way. And what I mean by that, like, just give me a second on that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to authority, we've kind of lived in authority, which is platforms and an authority, so they give you the guardrails to express in, kind of a bit weird at times, feels a bit homogenized. And then on the flip side of that, we've got platforms that do that, yes, but then you've also got the ability to say there are only so many places people spend time in, so that authority is dictated because that's where the audience hang out. So one, you've got the guardrails of what that expression is, and the other one is an audience are only hanging out in certain places, right? Those two things.
Yep.
In those places that they hang out, the way that you create authority has changed. It's affinity, which means if you tell me, hey, Shingy, here's something you should be checking out, dude, it's probably more important than somebody putting it up in front of me. And I don't care whether it's a social ad or a platform ad or an open web ad, you know, things that you care about and, you know, we have an affinity, mm-hmm. you've just become an incredible influence to me. So we need to get more of that. So I would say for 10 years I've been saying that niche is the new mass. And, you know, I've seen people head tilt and go, what the hell is this dude talking about again? I truly mean it. Mm-hmm. And if I look at something like TikTok, thank God it's some of this stuff comes true, by the way, because otherwise I'd be in the shit. But it's amazing that if I look at something like TikTok, it is all niche. The things that you say you go groove out on if you hang out any time in that platform are going to be very different than what I groove out on. And that's kind of the value of these places today that allow us to create affinity, that also allow us to create a feel. So what's that look, feel, color, design, you know? All those elements that are truth. And then the other thing is, what is it doing to help connect, you know? Because otherwise we're just going to continue passing through, man. And it's getting more and more passive. And we are moving, you know, I used to say attention, you know, is the new economy. I've moved on, dude. It's now intention. If I'm going to rip my phone out and avoid a conversation or continue a conversation with you and I'm going to interrupt that experience by pulling out my phone, I've made an intention that is different than attention, which is just sort of swiping through life. It's very different.
And how do we use technology to support that? Because, you know, there is an argument for saying that the kind of the beautiful TikTok algorithm, which is creating right. that sense of kind of tailored experience that is unique to me as an individual, there is an argument for saying that is taking us down a kind of a path towards a silo, right? How do you bring back, as you said, that kind of sense of tech of connectivity?
Brother, whenever there's a connection, there's always good and bad. Okay, so I'm not necessarily here to dump on the algorithm. I think if you spend too much time dwelling on topics that are sort of, you may not actually be interested in, you may be shocked by, you're going to see more of it. That's the machine not really understanding you, the human. They're understanding you, the person who's touching the screen. They don't understand your psyche. Mm-hmm. They're trying to create an algorithm that understands your psyche. What they're doing is understanding your patterns and your habits. That's why we go down that dirty path of saying, oh, we've run into the gutters. How do we pull back from that? Well, part of it is using intuition and gut, not just always head. And I love tech. Don't get me wrong. I love technology, and I love where we've certainly evolved as an industry. Now we have more data points. You know, remember? Oh, look, if you and I had this conversation 5 years ago, we'd be talking about, well, how's big data being used in these media platforms and blah blah. Well, it's not about the big data. You know that. You know, we know better to ask the questions. That it's actually about big data, small decisions. Those small decisions become micro habits. Those micro habits are estimations of our needs. And can technology help that? Well, yeah, possibly. And when somebody says, well, we have an artificial intelligence engine that learns that, I'm like, learns what? Oh, you're talking about machine learning now. Well, that's machine learning. Mm-hmm. The intelligence is doing what? Creating an interesting calculation that says predictive? Great. So anything that actually allows us to help navigate better decisions that feel more contextually relevant to me, will make it feel more humanized. And that's where technology, Justin, in my mind, is really different than personalized or customized. They're still quite clinical. So as technology gets better, meaning face recognition, you know, fingerprint diagnostics, you know, different ways of opening and closing the hard technology that we have, if those incredible changes in physical technology can move into the algorithms of data technologies, and we're able to feel like something does feel more humanized, then I'm there. But I'm not. I don't think we're necessarily there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that these social platforms that we do spend a lot of time in, frankly, still feel a bit like they're a bit broadcasty. They're not really narrow casting unless I go and explore. And when I open up my discovery tab, it's all over the place, dude.
Yeah.
And now it's like, choose your own adventure. And that could be good or bad, but I will tell you right now, there are many times I clear the cache and memory and all that stuff just because it feels like, well, that's a weird, or just that wasn't me. That's not
right.
That's not where
like
I'm going.
Reset.
So I just need to dig out. And that's life too, mm-hmm. you know? So can I reflect my own digital habits in the real world, or have my digital habits reflect my real world? And we're miles away from that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And can we be nudged? Can we be influenced? Can we be inspired to sort of, you know, drive it up, you know, positive intent?
And do you think we can? Are you seeing evidence of that?
I'm not. And that, I think, is something that, as you said, I think as we think about sort of almost the next generation and your point around, you know, that human side, it's how do we inject that back in? Because I think we've reached a kind of a new plateau, as it were.
Yeah.
And I think I'm like you at the moment. I'm looking for what's next. Is this going to be an evolution of the platforms that have become natively embedded in our life and our work?
Right.
Or is there going to be a new emerging platform that helps us take us to that kind of new kind of nirvana playing field, whatever you want to kind of call it?
Well, you know, some of that comes, you know, I get pitched a lot for startups that sort of want me to come on as an active advisor or a consultant or something, and God bless, it's great. However, there are a couple of things that I find that's reoccurring is they're always an ish to it. Mm-hmm. Like we're a little bit Uber-ish, or we're Spotify-ish, or we're going to be the next big thing-ish. And I'm kind of like, how is that the case? How are you going to come from nowhere? You know, I think the success of any of those aspirations is timing.
Mm-hmm.
So are we at a place where timing will help perfect that? Because, you know, if I give you an analogy, I think about 2006, the ringtone marketplace was valued at about $6 billion or something. You know, it was really quite amazing. And, you know, the advent of the I can't, you know, if I hear the phone ring today, I get deeply disturbed. You know what I mean? But back in the day, I would have spent 99 cents on Who Let the Dogs Out or some shit. I mean, it's crazy how we change so quickly. And if you look at the rise of some of these platforms, a lot of it happened because of pandemic times. We had a lot of time to be able to sit in the psyche of, we've got extra time. What do you want to do? I want to release. Why? Because I'm in a teenager stuck in my home, my teenage bedroom when I thought I was going to be going off to the city that I've always dreamt of. And, you know, I want to participate, but I can't. And, you know, the rise of TikTok has been absolutely sensational at the right time, which was, it gave kids a place to release, you know, to join in with the group of duets and dancing and
creativity
and being
kids,
you know, and they weren't able to do that elsewhere, particularly when we look at the domains of city. And so a lot of it's got to do with timing, you know. So we can try and force that peg into a round hole. I just don't know if it becomes that successful. Look, if you look at the dynamics of something like the creation of TikTok, is not necessarily that different to Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened to that, mate.
Yeah, and I sometimes pine for Vine.
Pine for Vine? Now that's a t-shirt I want you to wear. Yeah.
So come on, look, you know, let's talk about the positives. Let's talk about sort of what's, you know, glimmers of hope. Tell me what's exciting you right now.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's not all marred in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You know, and if I had a TV, I'd watch that. But I can quote somebody else telling me it's amazing, amazingly scary. The hope for me is this. It is. I'm very, very hopeful, and I feel very excited about many things in this industry, and primarily the ability to say that, look, I graduated from design school. I was the last, I really was the last generation of traditional graphic designers. So if you sat down and said, you know, can you tell the difference between Bembo and Garamond and Times New Roman and blah, blah, yeah. I used to hand cone fonts, dude. And then the next school had all computers, and I had to teach myself computers. But I came out of an industry where people said design is dead. Do you think design is dead? No.
No, it's
more beautiful than ever before. So we have the ability, and design equals creativity. So I am celebrating the creativity today. At the same time, we need to understand that creativity isn't necessarily easy. So I love that as a tagline for TikTok, because they've given you tools to be able to say that, you know, creation should be easy, but to be creative isn't. And so I'm very excited that the polymath, those of us who have many curiosities today that aren't just sitting here doing strat development, or I'm not here to just be an evangelist, I can do many different things and there's a place for it. I'm very excited for that. And then there's a platform to express it. So I just want to make sure that as much as we see good, that the evil isn't the thing that becomes the thing we focus on, because there's incredible positive things that happen. You know, to help with kids' self-esteem, you know, we've got these creative platforms that allow them to do it. People can express themselves in a fluidity that you and I probably weren't really enabled to do when we grew up. And so that's incredibly positive to me. So don't let me sit here and be a naysayer. I just want to be clear that I'm very excited about many things. And also the democratization of some of these tools, I love that, man. The counter to that is, with democratization comes homogenization. So that's where these incredible people who are, you know, flamboyant or fluid or misunderstood or understood, they have these incredible ways to stand out. Because at the moment we're in a place that's, you know, anything and anybody could become a hero of those platforms. It's just hard for that to be sustainable. And that's what we're trying to do, is understand that to become a career-long creator, for example, as a quote-unquote, particularly if you're going to be using tools like AI to help you amplify that, make sure they're for good and they're sustainable.
I love these words of wisdom. Thank you for giving me your time today.
Oh, you're incredibly welcome, sir. It's so good to see you, man.
Likewise.
It doesn't negate the need to catch up with people in the real world, does it?
You're a great human.
I appreciate you, dude. Thank you.
The Business of Marketing podcast was brought to you by Demand Exchange, helping you find your next ideal customer.